Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'll be filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today to encourage you and to inspire you, the one and the only, the producer, the man with perfect hair and beautiful gel.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And his sidekick, our friend and yours, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good this morning.
Oh my! I see you're still sporting that that wafer thing on your head.
Oh, yeah, no, you still have got to wear my hat. I did, for those that are listening, I did bring Pat a hat. You know, I did bring Pat a hat. His daughter, by the way, complimented me and told me that I was quite stylish with this hat and thanked me for helping her dad.
Who said
with
this?
The hat.
Who did?
Oh, your daughter. Yes, your daughter.
Oh, my daughter.
Yes, your daughter. She said it looked good on you. I thought it did, too. I mean, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you.
I know. I need all the help I can get, man.
But the hair. He doesn't want to mess up hair.
Can't mess up the hair. Actually, my head's too big. It was too tight.
Oh, come on. Come on now. We have to make this available on the Torch. I mean, go to the Torch. You never know when we're going to surprise you with this picture of Pat with the hat.
No, don't do that.
just never know we're going to have that. Check on the Torch.
That's wrong. All right.
I do want to give some shout-outs this morning. I want to give a shout-out to Joanne. Oh, my goodness. Listen, we are praying for you. And I am just so blessed. Listen, if you need a nurse, you can fly her in. I'm going to tell you something.
This is a
nurse. I mean,
she'll take care of you.
Dude, she is awesome. Her patients love her. Some people are just made for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
This is Joanne. Just like as an anointing for her. Awesome. And say hello to everyone in New York Presbyterian Hospital. Hello to Dr. Oz for us. Also want to give a shout out there to Craig. Awesome, my man. And Derek. We're hearing so many awesome things about Derek. That's incredible. Very, very good. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out this morning to my wife, Teresa. Babe, I love you. Have a great day. And I want to welcome all of our new VFN Radio listeners. Oh, my goodness. Catherine and Abijah, Benita, Randy. Oh, my goodness. Gusty. They're just, I mean, from all over the world, Pat. And I'm just so, so excited. We have a fantastic program today to be with you. We're going to be talking today in the program about the Kids Sportsman of the Year. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, as well as an exciting interview with Pastor Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. You may be familiar with him.
Awesome.
The Harbingers.
Yes.
Well, we have an awesome interview between him and Pat Robertson, which we really think is just going to encourage you, our VFN radio listeners. And we just have so much more to share with you. But speaking about the Kids Sportsman of the Year, apparently I didn't even know this, that there was such a category, guys. But there's a Kids Sportsman, Sports Illustrated does a Kids Sportsman of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And the young boy that they recognize. Oh my goodness, what an amazing story. He is really going to teach us a lesson here as we just listen to what transpired in his life and actually in his brother's life too. Go ahead and listen up. Be encouraged.
That doctor pretty much told us, you know, your son is going to be a burden on your family. Put him in a home. You've already got one kid. He's okay. This one has cerebral palsy. He's going to be a vegetable. He's going to be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. He'll never leave your house. Put him in a home.
When we found out we were having another little boy, they are so close in age. They were supposed to be biking and fishing together. But what Connor did for Caden and that one little choice to do a race on a weekend, it changed them.
It changed.
My name's Carter, and my brother's name is Caden, and
We race together in triathlons.
For most young boys like Connor Long, the bonds of childhood are formed outdoors, playing together. But Connor's six-year-old brother Caden has been relegated to the sidelines for most of his life. Then an idea born out of a desire to connect with Caden. To become not just brothers or even playmates, but teammates competing together in triathlons.
When I see him smiling and laughing, that means he's having a good time.
And though they would finish last, they finished together as one.
He's really excited before the race. He stays up to like 1 or 2 in the morning. But after that, he falls asleep in the cart.
Kitchen usually have this type of breakfast on the weekends.
The one thing that makes me really mad is when people walk down the road and say the R-word, if you know what that is. I just tell them that, like, it doesn't matter what he looks like on the outside, it's matter what's on the inside, and he still has regular feelings like we do. And he understands what you say about him. If people could race with people that can't walk or talk or have any kind of autism, it might open eyes of people that don't really care about it. And maybe the people that don't care in the past will care in the future and actually do it with somebody. 10 years from now, the perfect place for me and Caden would be, like, you know how people have the American flag on the moon? We'll have the Team Long Brothers flag on the moon.
Please join me in welcoming to the stage the winners of the 2012 Sports Illustrated Kids Sports Kid of the Year contest, joined by their parents, Connor and Caden Long.
Hello, everybody. This is really awesome for me and Caden to do this because we've been waiting for a very long time. And a lot of people think that we would never be able to do something like this, but we can always do anything.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wasn't that powerful?
Amazing.
Wasn't that powerful?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Caden willing to be there for his brother.
That's something.
How powerful is that? How powerful is that?
That's beautiful.
You know, and I give it up to the parents. And you know, doctors will they're trying to do their best. They're practitioners. They're practicing. Mm-hmm. They're practicing. You know, mm-hmm. and here they are telling, you know, this parent that this child's gonna be a vegetable. You already have one healthy child. You know, hey, you know, you want to consider all this type of stuff. And it's like, no, what are you talking about? If you haven't listened to the segment on Miracle Baby, oh my goodness, you got to listen to that. It's on VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and select the Torch. And on the search on the right-hand side of the Torch, you can type in Miracle. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the segment Miracle Baby, where a doctor advised a mother, three doctors, to abort her child because, you know, she wasn't going to make it. And the baby did make it, and she kept it. It's a wonderful, wonderful story testimony. But listen, you know, this child, they kept their child. They kept their child. And look what beautiful came out of there, where Connor has an amazing love for his brother.
All right.
They're teaching us a lesson. I am my brother's keeper.
Yeah.
I am my brother's keeper. And here they're going to do triathlons. I mean, they can't be more than 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
If that. And they're doing triathlons, and I love what the commentator said in this video. He says, listen, they finished last, but they finished together.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be. We need to be willing to finish last, but to finish together with our brothers and with our sisters. And as a church, my goodness, we need to be there for each other. We need to be there to help others along the way. Sure. I mean, this really is the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. This is the love of Christ. I mean, sure, helping some people may not be popular with some people, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly wasn't popular for Connor.
Yeah.
I mean, you could imagine how hurtful children are, but let me tell you, you know, adults can be hurtful too. So, you know, they say words, you know, that words do bother. You know, it's what we say, be careful of who's whispering in your ear and talking in your ear, because, you know, these words get down on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may not be popular in man's eyes to associate with those that have struggles, with those that have bad experiences in their life, with those that the world would discard and would try to run away from.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. The question is, do you want to be popular with man, or do you want to be popular with God?
That's right.
That's the question.
Exactly right.
You know, Connor said, I'm not worried about what these kids on the neighborhood say. This is my brother.
That's right.
This is my brother.
Right.
Yeah, I like what he said. He said it matters what's on the inside, not the outside.
Exactly. Exactly. What would happen if the church got that much love for each other and says, listen, I don't care that this brother fell to that or that sister fell to that. I don't care that this brother, sister struggling with something. It may not be politically correct, if you will, to associate with them. Not after this.
Right.
It's like, you even notice someone has, it was like, it's just scattering. Maybe it was, well, I don't know him, don't know her. It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
He was so respectful, though, even his braces. I don't even want to say the R word, the things that they were saying. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even say it. He wouldn't even give it place.
That's awesome.
He wouldn't even say it.
Beautiful.
It reminds me of when the paralytic was there. It's like, you know, it's like, are we still identifying people in their sin? You know, the paralytic. Are we identifying people by what they've been attacked with and not identifying by who they are, a son or a daughter of God? He said, that's my brother. He didn't say, that's my autistic brother. That's not my brother that has... That's my brother. Mm-hmm. That's my sister. You know, James tells us, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Mm. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you,
mm-hmm.
but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Wow.
This should not be. This should not be. You know, we should be careful not to cast judgments over people mm-hmm. because of their struggle or sin, but instead we should do a pray.
That's right.
Help them, support them.
Mm-hmm.
And love on them.
That's right.
You know, look, says, my goodness, you know, it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance, and love covers a multitude of sins. And we got to be in the business of providing cover
mm-hmm.
for people, not uncovering people. I mean, just the things I'm seeing have me concerned,
mm-hmm.
where people are quick to uncover and shame someone. And where's the day that we're willing to not even mention something? When's the day that, you know, the Bible says to just like without fire, kindling, that, you know, without wood, a fire goes out. The same thing with without gossip, strife goes away. You know what I'm saying? It's like we need to not be pointing someone's errors. I love what Ecclesiastes says, that if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lie down together, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Mm-hmm. A cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
And you helping a person in need and Jesus, that's a majority. You know what I'm saying? That is a majority. Together, we're better together.
Right.
We can encourage each other, we can strengthen each other, and we can help people along the way. And if two small boys can make it on a national stage to receive an award, a Kids Sportsman of the Year award, where I even think LeBron James, NBA superstar, is saying, this is the real sportsman.
Yeah.
This is the real sportsman.
Right.
Not us.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. They can teach us a thing. So we got to continue to love. I mean, Jesus said in himself, I tell you the truth, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture alone, that one verse alone would give us such great perspective how we can be there for other people. Let me tell you, people are struggling today. They're looking for a friend. They're looking for someone to be a light. They're looking for someone to help them and just to bring them into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I love what Mother Teresa said. She said, if we spend all of our time judging people,
mm-hmm.
we won't have any time to love them.
Oh, wow.
We're not in the business to judge, but we are in the business to love.
That's good.
We'll be right back.
We're looking and we're searching. We're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and active.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly,
right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear,
right?
You know, because you know we don't all hear the same way, but
right.
But God knows, you know, how to speak to us, and,
right?
And it's just awesome. It's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
Oh, I was so convinced we were going to see what we just saw before you actually put it.
I know.
Oh, it was so much fun. We were younger then. Now, Natalia, I'll probably do the very same thing. I remember, I don't have time to talk about it, but I had the same experience on the teacup.
In Disney World,
yeah. I'm like, I'm going to spin this puppy. And you know, Donna and
that's,
Megan.
That's the kiddie ride, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's the kiddie ride. Well, I'm almost who would ever thought you would feel that way on a teacup, right?
Right.
And so I'm like spinning it. I'm like, boosh, boosh. We're flying around. Our heads are like pulling back with huge gravitation, all of our heads are going to lean back.
That's a kitty ride. Right?
Well, yes, yes. And then I looked somewhere or something. I thought, I am spinning around at 30,000 miles an hour. Our heads are leaning back. I can't even, all I can see is their necks because their heads are back. And I'm fixing, this is not going to be good. You know, I thought, man, I am fixing. Oh my goodness. But I just thank God he had mercy on me. It didn't happen.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And if you were just joining us, before we took a break, we were talking about the kid sportsman, I Am My Brother's Keeper. Oh my goodness, we are learning some lessons, aren't we?
Oh my goodness. He puts us to shame.
Well, hey, we can be there for each other. We can be there for each other. We can love each other. And we can say, hey, it's okay if I don't finish first as long as we finish together. And that's what matters. We got to finish together.
That's right.
We got to finish together in the Lord.
Exactly.
Well, we want to play for you. We want to play for you a really exciting interview that Pat Robinson had the opportunity to interview Jonathan Kahn. He is a pastor, rabbi of a Messianic congregation, mm-hmm. actually here in New Jersey, not too far from me, actually. Oh, about 15 minutes from me. I just found that out. And Jonathan Kahn, Pastor Kahn here, he God gave him this amazing revelation just about, he wrote this book called The Harbingers, and Harbingers is a warning to America. It's a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, he's going to share some of that and share some hope. And it's just really, really exciting. In fact, I just want you to listen up. We'll come back and talk about this more, but you got to listen to this interview. Listen up.
What treasures of wisdom are hidden in the Bible? Many times we don't even see it. We overlook it. We read it and are not aware of what they mean. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 10 says, quote, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." It's a verse of defiance of what would happen after Israel was invaded. But it's one spoken by the leaders of Israel thousands of years ago. But as our next guest explains, it's a verse that carries a prophetic significance for the United States of America.
The stock market crash in 2008, the collapse of the American economy, the horrors of 9/11. Jonathan Kahn says these events were predicted thousands of years ago in the Bible. In his book, The Harbinger Companion, Jonathan explains the parallels between ancient Israel and America and shares the secrets that bring hope for our future.
Well, Jonathan Kahn is here with us, and my dear friend, your book, The Harbinger, just moved me. It moved millions of people, become a bestseller, and it touched you. How did it affect you, this whole story?
It changed everything. I mean, I knew it would go forth. I didn't have a doubt that this was the Lord. It wasn't me. And it was a year ago I was here, and you said, I want Jonathan on this day. And you didn't know that was the day of the release of the book. And it went forth. It went to the New York Times that week. It has been on the New York Times every week since then. It's changed everything. I mean, for me, there's no time for anything. And it's been going forward. It just went past a million now copies, and it's been going across denominational lines. It's been reaching the Capitol Hill. We're getting calls from, or we've gotten contact from people in Congress who are reading it. It's just been going. Wow.
This verse in Isaiah was spoken when judgment was being assessed against Israel,
yes.
What the Assyrians were going to invade.
Yes.
And this was their answer of it. It wasn't a faith thing. It was a rebellious thing.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, you know, the harbinger, you know, begins with the last days of ancient Israel. And this is a nation that had known God. I mean, you gave some stories here about what's happening in America right now. Yeah. And it's very dramatic. And a nation that knew God turned away from God and God warned them. Mm-hmm. And so he allowed this strike to happen on the land. And their response, instead of turning back to God, which was what he wanted, is they defy him. Mm-hmm. And there are nine harbingers that appear in the land that are warnings of what will happen if it doesn't turn back to God. And instead of turning back, they defy him, and years later, they will be destroyed. And this is a pattern in the Bible. And with America, we are now the nation that has known God, that is turning from God, and God is warning. And the same exact pattern, the scary thing or the amazing thing, is that the same nine harbingers that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel are now reappearing on American soil. They're happening the same way, specifically beginning with 9/11, this warning strike, and now affecting everything. Some appeared in New York City, some have appeared in Washington, D.C., some have involved American leaders, some involved the President of the United States, and it affects everything, and it's specific.
In Isaiah, they said, we will rebuild. And you pointed out how the leaders of our government, Tom Daschle and others, quoted this very scripture, said, we will rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, it's eerie, because if they had any idea what they were doing, they never would do it. And this is one of the harbingers, is that the leaders of the ancient land actually vow this vow. And so on the very day after 9/11, Tom Daschle from the Senate floor, or from the floor of Congress, says there's a word for America now. And out of his mouth comes the ancient declaration that pronounces judgment on a nation. And then John Edwards does the same thing. And then President Obama, in a paraphrase, without realizing what he's doing, does the same thing. I mean, it's eerie, but it's exactly word for word. And that's the mystery. It's happening. And when they said that, when Daschle said it, he didn't realize he spoke of a tree. He didn't know there was an actual tree that fell down. He speaks about the stone that's going to go up. He didn't know that's actually going to happen. He's speaking of the harbingers, and it's happening, but he doesn't realize what he's saying.
There was a stone. Tell us about the stone.
Yeah, the stone in the book. It's the stone of judgment is the fifth harbinger, and it goes right down the vow of Isaiah. Isaiah says they vow, we will rebuild with quarried stone. That's Israel after the attack. So here's what happens. After 9/11, the people of New York go up to the mountains of New York. They quarry out this massive rectangular stone. It matches. It's called a biblical gazit stone. Right. They bring it to the ground of destruction. This is the harbinger that has to be. They have a ceremony around the stone. The American leaders vow vows of defiance over the stone, that we're going to come back stronger than ever, just as ancient Israel did. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're reenacting exactly what happened then without realizing what they're doing.
They didn't realize they were cutting a stone in upstate New York that was the gazit stone.
They had no idea, and every single harbinger gets fulfilled like this without people realizing what they're doing. And then you have the sycamore. The sycamore is, it says, Isaiah said this, they will rebuild. It says the sycamores have been cut down. So what it means is, this is the sixth harbinger of the book, that there has to be the striking down of a sycamore. It's a biblical sign of judgment, a national judgment in the Bible, the cutting down of the tree. It has to happen. It has to be linked to 9/11 or the attack. And so what happens in the last moments of 9/11, an eerie thing happens, that the tower, as it's coming down, sends forth a shockwave, sends forth a beam into the air. Mm-hmm. It strikes an object. The object happens to be a tree. It happens to be a sycamore. The sycamore has fallen at the corner of Ground Zero. The people of New York, they put it on display. They make it a sign, and they call it the sycamore of Ground Zero. They think it's a great thing, and they don't realize this is the biblical sign of judgment. Everything in that verse, Isaiah, came true.
Well, they came and replanted, though, didn't they?
The next thing is right down the line, the sycamores have fallen, and the people of Israel says, well, we will plant cedars in their place. The biblical word is erez tree. It can be a cedar, can be a spruce. But they're, again, an act of defiance, saying, we're going to come back stronger, so God, you're not going to humble us. We're going to put a stronger tree here. And so what happens, the seventh harbinger is, 2 years after 9/11, a tree appears in the sky. It's at the corner of Ground Zero. Right. It's being lowered down into place, into an exact place to replace the sycamore. This is an act. This is the act, what they did in ancient Israel. Mm-hmm. That puts it down, and they call it the tree of hope. They have a ceremony around the tree. They say, we know this is a tree of nothing's going to stop us. And the tree is a biblical erez tree, the same tree of the Hebrew of Isaiah 9:10.
They have no idea what they're doing. Nobody's planning this.
There is like a conifer.
It's a conifer tree. It's yeah. or panache tree. Yes, and it can be a cedar. It can be a spruce, uh-huh. and that's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was. Everything that was there, and the harbingers are the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the shaking of America. And then the next part of it, if you follow what happened to Israel, the next part is that there was a second shaking because they defied God. Yeah. So God says, well, there's going to be another one. Well. What comes after is the economic shaking of America. We're still in the shadow of it. Yeah, and yeah. it happens with the collapse. And it opens up a whole other stream of biblical mysteries. And one of them, I could just touch, is the Shemitah. And the Shemitah is that every 7 years in Israel, it was kind of like an economic wipe away.
Right.
You know, as a blessing. But what happened is at the end of it, on this exact one day called Elul 29, all the nation's debts are wiped out, the accounts are wiped out, finance, all wiped away, and as a blessing. But as the nation turned away from God, the Shemitah turns into a sign of judgment. Jeremiah says that actually God uses that as the timing of judgment. Well, what does it have to do with America? You have the first shaking, 9/11. You have the second shaking, the economic collapse. Well, the Shemitah is always 7 years apart. It's a seven-year thing. So when did the collapse of the American economy happen? Happened 7 years after 2001,
okay.
in September, 7 years to the month of 9/11. It happened the second week of September. That's 7 years to the week of 9/11. And the greatest day of this collapse was the end of September, the greatest collapse in American history, period. Greatest collapse. When did it take place? It took place on Elul 29, the exact day appointed in the Bible for the wiping away of a nation's financial accounts as a sign of judgment of a nation that has turned away from God.
Let's repeat. This is the exact day, the Elul?
The exact day and the exact hours. And not it's the exact hours that happened. And not only that, and if you go back 7 years, because it's a seven-year mystery, you find 2001, you have the other greatest collapse in American history up to that day. Happened after 9/11. And when did that collapse take place? It took place on the exact same Elul 29, the day of appointed to wipe away a nation's financial account. And they happened exactly seven Hebrew biblical years apart to the day, to the hours, the two greatest collapses up to those days. And it wasn't just on any day. It only comes once every 7 years. They both happened on the exact once in 7 year.
Well, we are having the greatest financial problem in the history of this nation. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the amount of debt is so insupportable. It's not just America, it's the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole world, there's no way out of it.
Yeah, which is also, I mean, that you just brought up something that's another sign in the Bible. It speaks, it says, if you're blessed, you follow me, you're going to lend to many nations.
Yeah.
If you turn away from me, you're going to be in debt. We went from the greatest creditor nation right. to the greatest debtor nation, just in the same way as we are moving away from God. And the harbingers, Pat, the other thing is, it's continuing. I mean, the other, we asked how it affected me. One of the things that kind of shocked me, even when my wife told me something, I didn't believe her, and I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. She said, is that what's in the book has actually been coming true, and it's actually been confirmed. It's actually continuing. It didn't stop a year ago. I mean, it's continuing. There is one of the harbingers is the tower, you know, at ground zero.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was, with Israel, the sign was that, hey, they said, we're going to rebuild higher, bigger, stronger, but without God. And it takes the form of the tower. In an ancient translation called the Septuagint, when they first translated the Bible, they did a strange thing with Isaiah 9:10. They said, the bricks have fallen. It said, but come, let us build for ourselves a tower. They literally said a tower. So that a tower is going to rise on the ground of destruction. The nation's going to do this. That's exactly what's happening in New York City. This is the harbinger that's continuing to go up. It's happening. And the idea is higher, bigger, stronger. Now, they got that verse when they said, come, let us build for a tower.
Yeah.
The rabbis got it from the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And so they're linking the Tower of Babel to Isaiah 9:10. That's what they did.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you know, I found out since I wrote the book, that actually there was a scripture in the ruins of Ground Zero. There was a scripture embedded in the ruins of Ground Zero.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. And this is after a real book. And it was a photographer got it. It was a charred Bible, and there was one page left. He took a picture, was whisked out. He looked at it, started weeping. And it was right there where they're going to build the tower. The scripture was, come, let us build for ourselves a tower.
And that's the Tower of Babel.
That is the Tower of Babel. And the only other place it appears in the ancient translation is Isaiah 9:10, the scripture of the harbinger in there. And so here this tower has been going up. It's been going up. And it only this year it broke through and it became the tallest building in New York. You know, it broke through, and that's the whole point of it. Mm-hmm. And the day it did, and there was a tension on this tower, it became the biggest thing. It was April 30th. In the Harbinger, that's the date given for the mystery of Ground Zero. April 30th is in the Harbinger. And the president, Pat, this is six months after the book came out when we were here. Yeah. The president came to Ground Zero. And they showed him a beam. This is in the summer. And they showed him a beam. It's going to be the final beam of the tower. And they said, write words on the beam. Now, you know that in the book, as the third witness, he gives this paraphrase. And the way to sum up Isaiah 9:10 in our language is simply two. We will rebuild, number one, mm-hmm. and we'll come back stronger. He writes on the beam, we rebuild, we come back stronger. On the beam, the highest words in America, crowning the tower.
And the president wrote those words.
He wrote the very words. And when my wife told me this, I didn't believe her. Yeah. And when I looked at it, it's going to be the highest thing in America. It's going to be the highest. It's the words. It's a paraphrase of Isaiah 9:10. Mm-hmm. And in the ancient Hebrew, when they made this vow that brought destruction, it's eight Hebrew words, Isaiah 9:10, eight Hebrew words. The president added two, so he put eight English words matching the eight Hebrew words of Isaiah on the tower. Yeah, and the central word of both is rebuild in both the fourth word. Of, I mean, it parallels exactly. It's uncanny. And there's another one. I'll throw in that, you know, in the Bible, one of the signs of national judgment we spoke about is the tree. And God says, this tree, you're going to wither. It talks mm-hmm. about a nation withering, or he says, I'm going to cut off the branches of the tree. So it's a biblical sign. Well, there is one of the harbingers is this tree of hope at Ground Zero.
Yeah.
And what has happened, you know, this was a symbol of America. Well, what happened to that harbinger? If you go there, I went back, mm-hmm. the tree of hope is withering away, withering away, withering away. They can't stop it from withering away. They literally, if you go there, the branches are, they're cutting off the branches. It's being held up by ropes. Everything around it is green, but the tree is withering, and everything right next to the tree is withering away. They can't do that. A sign of a nation that spiritually is withering. I mean, you know, and while America is saying we're going to get stronger, without coming back to God, it's withering. And I'll just mention one other thing which I didn't know back then, is God was actually, I believe, was actually connecting this together before I even wrote the book and to millions of Americans. There's something called the one-year Bible, and we all know it. It's, you know, and every day you've got a day and you got a thing to read. Well, I didn't realize, if you go to the one-year Bible, almost any one-year Bible, and you open up to find Isaiah 9:10, right. and you look at the top, you'll see a date. It says September 11th. On
really?
Every one-year Bible, it links together the verse that is about the first strike of judgment. It gives the date 9/11, and the one-year Bible came out years before 9/11. And people are reading every year on 9/11. They're opening up to Isaiah 9:10. It's saying, and here is the first, talking about the first strike. It's giving the date, and even and next to it, they have a psalm they put next to it, and the psalm says there will be destruction in the city. Destruction in the city, and the word it uses for destruction is in Hebrew it means devastation, mm-hmm. but it also means something in Arabic. In Arabic, the same word in the Bible means Islamic fanaticism or fanaticism. The word is Hamas. It's in the Bible.
Hamas.
And it is there. You can look at it for nine. You'll see 9/11. It speaks of an attack. Speaks of fanaticism. Speaks of Isaiah 9:10. It was all there. For every year for America, millions of Americans.
This is unbelievable. John, what comes next?
I was watching the show from the background, right. and it is clear, you know, America right now, as the mainstream culture, is still turning rapidly from God, the culture.
That's right.
And as long as it does, if it does, the pattern is there will be shaking and shaking, and until America either returns to God, there's revival, or there is calamity or destruction. And I believe, I mean, people say, is there hope? You know, and I believe if there was no hope, there wouldn't be any harbingers. What's the point of warning if there's no hope? And one of the things we talked about last time was this mystery ground, that the mystery of Ground Zero goes back to this place where America was dedicated to God, right, and that's where it came. The message is return and come back. And there's something strange. I mean, that the harbinger. I mean, this year was a real tipping point, I think, in many ways. Mm. And yet the harbinger came out. So I believe that there's this parallel and that there's a warning, but God is calling. And it's the key is if my people. Yes. I mean, because if we were the salt of the earth we're supposed to be, America wouldn't be as such. If we were the light, it wouldn't be as such. And so the thing is that it's if my people. And the call goes out. And that's why I believe this is going out now. We have to turn to God. We have to be the lights as never before. If it's getting darker, mm-hmm. the lights have to get brighter, and mm-hmm. we have to get more radical. But this is the time, and this is the reason. There is hope, but the hope is only in Yeshua. You know, in Hebrew, the word for people say, "How can I be safe? Should I build a bomb shelter?" Yeah. In Hebrew, the word for safety is Yeshua, and Yeshua is Jesus. His only hope is Jesus. That's it.
Brother, I just thank God for you and for the work you've done. Ladies and gentlemen, The Harbinger, we mentioned before, it's a national bestseller, 1 million copies. This is The Harbinger Companion Jonathan has put together to give you a little bit more insight. It's extraordinary.
Wow, wow,
amazing.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Listen, God is warning us when we are hearing this in surround sound, if you will. I mean, this is technocolor. It's written in the Bible, foretold.
Wow.
I mean, that alone. I mean, one warning, two warnings, three warnings. I mean, there's warnings everywhere. And the fact that this was predicted in the book of Isaiah, foretold way in advance. One coincidence, two coincidence, nine coincidence? Nine?
Right.
Nine? And you know what was, when I first heard about that scripture in Isaiah, that was, he said that he found out afterwards was in the one-year Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have 2 one-year Bibles of two different
translations.
Brands, if you will, or different, you know,
translations.
Ones that were published. There were two different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And on 9/11, would you believe that there are both those scriptures are there on September 11th?
You know, I just read that scripture in one of my one-year Bibles. I didn't happen to look at the date. I can't wait to go back and look now.
Isn't that amazing? I have two separate one-year Bibles, two separate different ones. And on 9/11, it has that scripture and the psalm that he's talking about in for that day's reading, because the way the one-year Bible goes, it's, you know, it's January 1st, 2nd, all the way, all the days, and there's a proverb, a psalm, a New Testament, and an Old Testament scripture for each reading for each day.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And it's Psalms 55:11. It says, destructive forces at work in the city, threats and lies never leave its streets. And it's like, wow, the Lord has been warning us. The Lord has told us prophetically, which we've been sharing with you, our VFN radio listeners. And that's why we're on VFN radio, to prepare and to warn the church and for us to be ready and get ready. And the whole point of this, the whole point of the warnings, is there is hope. God wouldn't give us a warning. And there's always a choice. You know, you if you keep going on the path that you're on, then this is going to happen. But if you heed and make the choice to turn back to God and repent, then there's hope that God will restore us and bring us back. And listen, we are contending for a third great awakening. We are contending for an awesome move of God. Let me tell you, the country is ripe to turn to the Lord, but it must start with us. It must start with the church. If my people, who are called with my name, turn from their wicked ways, right?
That's right.
He will hear us, heal us, touch our land. So it starts with us. I want to encourage you. Look, ask the Lord, inspect my heart. Yeah. Know if there's any offensive way in me and leading me to the way everlasting. Lord, start with me. Start with me. And let us be the beginning of helping to not just turn the church back to the Lord, but to turn an entire nation back to God. We'll be right back.
You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house, and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brothers outside want to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. We found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west. And you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com. And click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we're just coming back from break, and we just finished hearing a riveting interview between Pat Robertson and Jonathan Kahn, who is a pastor, rabbi of a Messianic congregation here in New Jersey, who God gave him the just this revelation, just showed him in God's word, nine harbingers, nine warnings that were given to Israel during a time that Israel was about to face judgment. And would you believe that those same harbingers, those same warnings, those same predictions are being given on American soil? And it all started with 9/11. It all started with 9/11.
Yeah, sure did.
We're talking about, listen, this is not a coincidence. This is not a happenstance. I mean, this is a book, a revelation of just, I mean, one upon another, upon another, upon another, upon undeniable, undeniable, not coincidences, but occurrences that are saying, hey, listen, this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for us to repent, to turn back our hearts to God. I have just in my limited studies of American history, in my limited time here alive in this country, I have not seen such turmoil. I have not seen such a place where the nation is at in terms of, my goodness, we need God. We need God with this book. If you haven't gotten it, we encourage you to read it. It's called The Harbinger. It's about a year. It's been out already, and it's over 1 million copies already sold. New York Times bestseller from the first time it was released. The book has, this book revelation has gone across the country and the world, and even to Capitol Hill.
And
I was speaking with you, Pat, not too long ago that Jonathan Kahn actually shared this same word at the inaugural inaugural breakfast.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
This was a 30-minute let it rip speak English truth. You know, just speaking truth to power. And this is the time that we're living in. We have to be able to speak truth to power. We got to be people of righteousness, people that are totally dependent upon the Lord. But we have to start with us first. We got to start with the church first. I mean, how can we talk to a nation? How can we talk to the world about turning back to God if the church itself is just in sin, you know, and is away from God?
That's right.
It starts with us. It starts with us. And let me tell you something. It's more than just a song. It's more than just, we have to search our hearts. There's a psalm that says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting." Lead me to the way of everlasting. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to prayerfully go after God, prayerfully turn everything that is hindering you and from going after the Lord, and get the sin out.
Yeah.
God just wants us to confess it and repent from it. Mm-hmm. And also to believe with us, to believe for an awesome move of God that stretches from coast to coast, that reaches every person in every socioeconomic background, to every person in the country, every tribe, that we could have a country, a people that would say, listen, we done tried everything else. We need God. We need God. I want to encourage you to join us in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about rules versus relationship. Big, big difference.
You don't
want to miss that. We're also going to be sharing about some women who talk about their experiences after they've had abortions. You really don't want to miss that. I want to encourage you, tune on in for the extra hour. Don't forget, if you can't catch us live, you can always catch us on a 24/7 loop at VFNTV.com, or don't forget to download the app.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.